Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and joining us as he does from the confines of beautiful downtown Yuma, Arizona, is writer Dean Weingartner. Good afternoon, sir. Weingarten. Why did I do that?
You got it pretty close. I'll accept that.
Dean puts me in the neighborhood, doesn't he? Anyway.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad to be here, Bill.
Yes, sir. You have a very historical thing to look at here. This kind of thing interests me, not so much for what it is, but because of the way the various countries, once one of these things is found, the way they treat it.
Oh, that is fascinating, too. I agree. And we'll talk about that as part of this. You want to start with that, or you want to start with something else?
Well, let's start with the European canon, because let's just talk about what they found.
Well, what we have is that just a little after 2000 and 2001, a private party who was scuba diving in the Atlantic Ocean, not very far off the west coast of Sweden, near a place called Marstrand, which was a prominent port and often a fort as well in earlier times, they found a cannon that was a copper alloy, and they probably didn't know exactly what it was to start with. I mean, you look at it, it's not quite what we consider a conventional shape for a cannon. It kind of looks like a narrow funnel, or, you know, you could even think, well, maybe this was some weird kind of bell or something. But it actually is an early cannon that was made in Europe and probably used in Europe. It had the remnants of a charge of gunpowder in it when it was found, essentially the cloth, remnants of the cloth bag that would have had the gunpowder in it. And it had a touch hole, so it's clearly a cannon. And the in European history, gunpowder instruments, cannon, guns, that type of thing are mentioned starting around 1300. And we have an actual artifact, what they call a hand cannon, which was meant to be held by a single soldier and then probably a hot piece of metal poked into the touch hole to set it off. One of those was found, and it was dated to somewhat before 1399. But this is equally as old. It may even be older. And it is not something that one person could reasonably carry. Just the metal parts of this cannon, which isn't huge, but it's pretty good size, probably weighed about 60 pounds. Now, that's based on the dimensions given and my estimate of the volume of the copper alloy involved. This is a slightly more sophisticated cannon than the very earliest ones, but the metallurgy is not very suitable. It's a copper-lead alloy, and that tends to develop cracks over time. And when you're firing gunpowder off in something, that's not a good thing. So the people who found the cannon, when they analyzed the metallurgy, said that they don't think it would have held up under intensive use. So it might have been good that the people with the cannon lost at this point, because we don't know for sure if it would have held together more than a few shots. So it, because it went in water, it was probably a shipwreck, and they lost track of where it was, and nobody recovered it. It was at a depth which is kind of at the far edge of which freediving can recover things, about 60 feet in cold North Atlantic waters.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I did a fair amount of freediving, you know, not scuba diving, earlier, and yeah, I could get down to 30, 35 feet without much trouble. And really trained divers, like in the Philippines or in warm waters, they've set records of getting down to like 150, 200 feet free diving.
Yeah.
They take a heavy weight to help them come down, and then they come right back up after they get down to the maximum depth. And so they couldn't recover this cannon until this scuba diver found it. And it is the earliest actual cannon artifact that we have from Europe. I find it interesting because the Chinese used gunpowder earlier than this, but not a tremendous amount earlier than this. I would say maybe a century. And even then, the cannon that they had back in 1200 to 1300 were pretty rudimentary. Some of them were used bamboo. They probably started off as what they would call fire arrows. So it shows that the military technique or technology of gunpowder and guns traveled to Europe quite quickly. And that Europeans, shortly after this, became the leader in development of guns and gunpowder. By the end of the 1400s, which is, you know, a good century and a half later, the Ottoman Empire would hire a European gun maker, to build huge cannon to overcome the city of Constantinople when that city was finally completely conquered by the Turks. Well, at that time, they would have been Turks, the Ottoman Empire. So Europe became the leader, and with their leadership in cannon and ships and navigation, they essentially conquered the world. It's not like the Chinese didn't have gunpowder before, but they gave up on worldwide navigation, and we have a little bit of reference that they built a fleet of ships, decided it was too dangerous for them to allow their citizens to go out where they weren't under direct control of the empire and burn their ships. At least that's what documents seem to imply.
Right.
And the Muslim Empire had lots of ships. They were a little smaller, equivalent to what we call the dhows today, used a different system of sails. And they also, it's not clear if they took the compass from the Chinese or we did, but the Europeans clearly used the compass far more effectively than just about any other seagoing people. And with the compass and the cannons, there was nobody in the world who could match them. Now, this particular cannon, like I said, it was found by a private party. And then what happened is kind of interesting because Sweden has a law that if you find anything which is copper, gold, or silver-based, and it's older than 1850, the government owns it and you don't.
I want to get into this in full. We're coming up on the end of this segment, so hold on for me. This is the really interesting part. Because of what the governments in these various places do. I just found that interesting. I don't find it to be particularly controversial or anything, just interesting. Talking to Dean Weingarten, he's always revealing something. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about a cannon they discovered. Which, the cannon that they discovered is in and of itself a very interesting artifact. But what's even more interesting is what some of these governments do. When you go out and discover one of these artifacts, you're the one doing it, you're the one risking your life, you're the one pulling it to the surface or digging it out of the hill or whatever. What happens with these things? What happens when these people find these things, Dean?
Well, in Sweden, where this was found, the law was passed that says that anything with silver, bronze, or gold, any alloy, silver, copper, or gold, belongs to the state if it was created before 1850. Well, I find that 1850 cutoff rather interesting because after that we have all the modern major wars. So it's implied that if you find treasure after 1850, you get a cut or a share or own all of it. But in the United States, we have a very similar law that says that any treasure found on federal lands or on navigable water, at any time, if there isn't a owner that can be found for it, you know, like you could have a shipwreck and we know who the shipwreck belonged to, and then you find that could revert to the person if ownership could be established.
Right.
But other than that, all treasures belong to the United States and you don't get anything. And it's really a terrible law because people who find treasure or anything of value that can be an artifact or is covered under this historical objects law, have no incentive to turn it over to the government or even make note that they found it. Because if they turn it over to the government or make known that they have it or found it, they lose it. And all their work goes for nothing. And one of the most egregious cases of this was when someone found one of the best preserved fossils of Tyrannosaurus rex. And they had permission from the owner of the property, at least they thought they did, to dig up the fossil and preserve it. It was a very valuable thing. Well, the federal government started looking at it and said, well, that's on an Indian reservation, and it's not really private property as we look at it. So we don't believe that agreement is valid, and they confiscated it after they put in thousands and thousands of hours of digging it up and recreating it and making it museum ready. What you have, particularly with fossils, are when a fossil comes to the surface, it's only available for a relatively short time, especially bone-type fossils, because they start to weather and erode and be destroyed. So it appears the federal government would rather have fossils that come to the surface be destroyed rather than allow private parties to own them. It's really a terrible, terrible law, and I like the British law, which I think would be a good example for the United States to follow. In the British law, if you find historical relics and they're valuable, you turn them over to a museum or other facility that wants them, and then they value them, and then you get half. So there's real incentive to let the public know that they are there and that you found them, because then you develop an ownership interest. If no museum wants them, and I think you can even end up with all the value is possible. But I've read of several historical finds of Roman coins, things like that in Britain, with the end result that the person who found them gets half the value. Much more reasonable law, in my opinion.
Right. So, here's a question. And I'm not advocating anybody should do this. What if I go out there and I were to find a copper alloy cannon? And I'm thinking to myself, this is cool. And I just managed to get it to my house. And I don't tell anybody about it. Am I in big trouble?
That's a good question. I'm presuming you do it in the U.S.
Right.
And it's not that far off a possibility. There have been several reports of cannon that were probably brought with the conquistadors from Mexico into Arizona and Colorado, and then abandoned or lost or captured by the Indians in this place somewhere or another. I mean, I'll be reading a story, for example, and talk about people hunting way in the back of beyond of the mountains of New Mexico or Arizona, and they come across a cannon down in the bottom of some ravine or another, and it's big and heavy, and they don't have the facilities, and so they just leave it. and then they never were able to get back to figure out where it was before the days of GPS, I guess.
Right.
And so there's these rumors floating out there about Spanish cannons in, you know, somewhere in the back of beyond in Arizona, New Mexico. And if you found one, that's a really good question. Under the law, as it exists now, I think the federal government would claim ownership. Now, cannons like that would be really valuable because of the historicity. You know, you could, they're a historical artifact which could be traced right back to the earliest Europeans on the American continent, you know, the conquistadors. I don't know how much such a thing would be worth, but I'm sure it would be in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that could be a real problem.
And I guess it would really depend on whoever was the one who was going to get out there and try to value it. Like, I don't see anybody ever talking about megalodon teeth, which arguably are very old fossils, big, big, sharp teeth that are, you know, the size of your hand.
Right.
Why is that something that nobody's going after? But if I were to find a T-Rex bone, which is arguably as old, then I guess they'd be coming after me on that one.
You know, that's really a good question, because those, let's see, how do you pronounce it, megalodon?
Megalodon, the big teeth? Shark, yeah.
Yeah, huge. I mean, and the teeth are like, you know, they're like 4 inches across.
Yeah, the size of a plate.
Yeah. And so that's a good question. I think maybe because there are enough of them that they just don't bother going after them and they're common enough. I mean, it's just a guess. But I'll tell you a story. When I spent about 5 years down in Panama working for the Army down there. And under very special conditions, I mean, everything was just so. Basically, a hurricane was coming near to Panama, and it piled up the water on the Panamanian coast. So where otherwise you could not, you were just in kind of like wading water. It wasn't deep enough to swim in or to float on. With the hurricane piling up the water, it gained about a foot, maybe 2 foot of water in that area. Tides were very low. And so I went snorkeling out there and came across a Spanish cannon embedded in the coral.
Hang on right there. Well, you can tell the rest of the story when we get back. These always take on a life of their own. This is the fun part of having Dean on the show. You never know where it's going to go. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy has been ousted.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
The motion to remove him, initiated by Representative Matt Gaetz, gained support from a few Republicans and Democrats. This marks the first time in U.S. history that a speaker was voted out. Hunter Biden, President Biden's son, has entered a not guilty plea to federal gun charges in Delaware. He's facing three felony firearms charges, one of which pertains to unlawful possession as an illegal drug user. The judge in former President Trump's civil fraud trial has imposed a restricted gag order. The ruling followed a Truth Social post by Trump targeting the judge's clerk. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. When we left, when we last left you, he's snorkeling and he just found a cannon embedded in something.
Yeah, it's cast iron for this one. A little later, probably from after 1650 or so, around that era. Right. I'm guessing just because of the way it was built and looked, and it was embedded in coral. It's amazing how fast coral can grow. But somebody else must have found it at some point, because you could see that they tried to dig it out, try to dig away the coral from the cannon, probably so they could get it out. But the problem is it's huge. So it's probably 6 foot long. It probably was a good foot across at the widest. I mean, that weighs tons. You really need heavy equipment to move something like that. And to get the heavy equipment out to where this was, you'd have to take it, into a foot or more of salt water on top of coral, right in the middle of a military installation. It's kind of hard to do that without being discovered. And the Panamanian laws on who owns these artifacts are pretty clear. The government owns them, and they're not going to like the idea of some private party carting away a historical Spanish cannon. So there's a good chance it'll get covered up by coral again and just disappear beneath the coral. We'll see. Or we won't see, because I don't intend to go back down to Panama, even though I could pinpoint it within, I'd say, 30, 40 yards. I mean, I remember pretty close, and there were pretty distinct landmarks there. But I will admit that when I came back from Panama, somebody had given me some great shot. Lead shot meant for being shot out of a cannon that they found in the waters off Fort San Lorenzo. I just a few. I mean, they're probably only worth a few pennies, but I thought it was historically interesting that they had them. And off of, if you look at San Lorenzo, Fort San Lorenzo, which is at the mouth of the Chagres River,
right,
that's a perfect site for a fort. and it's got cliffs on three sides of it. Maybe those cliffs are probably almost, I'm going to guesstimate almost 100 feet. And at the base of those cliffs, you can see a number of Spanish cannon that were dumped there. I'm guessing that they were dumped there by Sir Henry Morgan's men when they conquered Fort San Lorenzo somewhere around 1635 or so. I might be off a bit on the dates. But so there's a lot of history down in Panama, and I was able to view a fair amount of it. And some of it involves muzzle-loading cannon and their use.
I was going to ask you regarding Chinese cannon. Aren't the bamboo cannon that the Chinese use, that was single use, right? They would use them and they'd blow up because it was bamboo.
I think they tried a variety of techniques. You know, some of what they did is they would wrap the bamboo with, you know, cord or rawhide or wire, and maybe they would get more than one shot from it. And it was very much an evolving process. I'm sure the earliest ones were just single use. I think they call them fire lances now that I have had my memory in here a little longer.
Right.
And those gradually evolved into full-blown cannon. But the cannon, there's no question in my mind, looking at the history of this, that the Europeans, once they got gunpowder and cannon, developed the art of gunpowder and cannon far more rapidly than the Chinese ever did, or the Muslims either. I mean, both of these technologies almost certainly came to Europe through the Muslim empires of the time, and because they had contact with China through the route that would go through Suez and then to the Red Sea, you know, I guess Cairo, Red Sea, and then along the coast all the way to India. And so they probably got the technology from the Chinese or from the Silk Road. That's the other possibility, overland. And both of those went through the Muslim empires. And both India and I'm not sure if China ever had the really huge cannon, but India and the Muslim empires and even the European empires had, as part of the evolution, enormous cannon. I mean, we're talking cannons with bores of like 2 to 3 feet that they used as siege engines to break down the walls of fortified cities and castles and such. And eventually, as cannon became more effective and they transitioned over to cast iron, those enormous engines, which could not be transported very far, they often were remelted and then recast in position, that those cannon, the more portable cannon, became the more effective and more used military weapon.
Yeah. That's just it's interesting, the whole dynamic of artifacts and ownership. What is the rule in the United States? If we find an artifact, what happens? And if I'm off the coast of South Carolina and I find who knows what?
Yeah. If you find treasure, the U.S. is going to claim it as that they own it, unless the ownership can be traced. For example, and there have been a couple instances of this, they're Spanish treasure galleons that have been found off the Florida coast. And the Spanish government claims ownership. And the U.S. has backed them up. So even though people find gold treasure that's worth millions of dollars, and they put all the effort into finding it, the rule right now is that that probably belongs to somebody else, and you may not even get a cut. So what a treasure hunter should and could do, if he can, is say, hey, I've got clues to where this treasure is of a Spanish galleon, and go to the Spanish government and say, before I put a lot of time and energy into this, I'd like you to guarantee that I get a cut. And by the way, when I was in Panama, there were plenty of rumors floating about. And the general consensus was, among the people who I talked to, was that if you find treasure, you better grab as much as you can and skedaddle, because the Panamanian government is certainly going to grab everything, and they might even do something nasty to you in the process.
Do something nasty to you? What would they do?
Well, throw you in jail.
Charge you with diving?
For coming up with, if you say there was a lot of gold coins there.
Yeah.
One of the things they might say is, well, how much gold was there? Well, I don't know. I haven't counted. Yeah, right. We really believe you. Now, here, let's put you under this torture machine, and who were your buddies there, and who went where, and we want to track them all down just in case they pocketed some stuff. I wouldn't have a hard time believing that at all. Now, I think maybe the Panamanian government has gotten better since then. There's been at least one regime change. But I knew people who routinely, no, that's not correct. I met a couple of people who would go out looking for artifacts, in Panama on the Isthmus. They were essentially grave robbing, I would say. They'd look for graves and often in a floodplain, these things, it's really hard to date them. And they would come up with stuff. One guy told me of finding some gold treasure. I mean, he didn't have anything. He just told me a story, whether it's true or not. It made a good story. And that when he found this gold treasure in a creek bed down near the Bay of Panama, which means that it's lost all dating possibilities.
Why?
What?
When you say it's lost all dating possibilities, why?
Because it's not in any strata anymore. It's not, there's no strata, and since it's gold, you can't date it like carbon.
Okay.
So it just tumbled down the creek bed for a ways, so you don't know where it came from or how deep it was buried or anything like that. And he said that he found this gold artifact, stuck it in a briefcase, and this was way before 9/11 and the way they started running everybody through metal detectors. Took it up to New York and put it in an auction house and sold it at an auction up there for a few thousand dollars.
Hang on for me one more time. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. And let's go find out what's happened to young Gabriel Metcalf. Where is Gabriel today out of Billings, Montana? Where did he get to?
Well, I presume that he is at home and out of jail, specifically out of the Yellowstone County Detention Facility, where he's been held in pre-trial detention without bail for a month. But then I believe his attorney, who is a federal defender, that's like a federal public defender, and his attorney's name is Russell Hart, and I've been impressed with him. When I learned that he was assigned to Gabriel's case, I did some research on him, and he appears to be a real up-and-comer. He argued a peripheral gun case. It was a sentence enhancement case before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel, and he won the case. So he seems to be a very sharp attorney. And he was able to convince Judge Cavan that he should reopen the detention hearing for Gabriel Metcalf because new facts had come to light. And after they held the new detention hearing, Judge Cavan released Gabriel Metcalf on his own recognizance. It was a huge win for Russell Hart and Gabriel. And so they go back to he goes back to his cell, and they held him until everybody else at the courthouse was done, and then they take him back. And he's told by a guard, I think they call him CO, correctional officer,
right,
to pack up his stuff. And then to bring it to, like a gate or a door or something like that. He does that. He gets there, and he gives away some things that he accumulated in jail with people that he'd met there. And he says, okay, what's going on? And then the guard says from across the how far away, oh, you're staying. There's a warrant for your arrest. And it turned out that it was a local warrant, apparently from about 3 years ago. And when Russell Hart was informed, and he understood that he could not do anything with this warrant because it's local. It wasn't a federal matter. So Gabriel ended up staying another day and a half or two in in lockup while this is all sorted out. He goes before a local judge, and the local judge releases him on $2,500 bail with the requirement that he wear a GPS ankle monitor, which costs $75 administrative fee up front, and then $9.50 a day, so roughly $300 a month. Well, to some people, $300 a month isn't a lot of money, but if you're just scraping by, it's a lot of money. So that's where it sits. Gabriel is now at home, and so it's an enormous difference to be in jail or out of jail, whether you have an ankle monitor or not. And he will eventually be able to go to court. He pled not guilty to this apparently 3-year-old charge, which is odd in itself because the police in Billings were saying for weeks, we can't do anything to arrest this guy, you know, who's openly carrying a shotgun on his property because he's not breaking any laws. You'd think that if he had an open warrant out for his arrest, somebody would have noticed, but that warrant didn't come up until he was in prison, and I don't know, well, that's incorrect, jail and prison are not the same thing, until he was incarcerated in the jail, and then they served the warrant to him a day and a half after he would have been released by Judge Cavan on his own recognizance. So there's a lot more that is going to happen on this. One of the things I found when I started researching this was that Billings, Montana, has a very bad reputation about public defenders. 2 years ago, they were 660 cases behind. In other words, 660 defendants had not been assigned a public defender in Billings, Montana. And a judge held the public defender system in contempt and fined them $10,000. That's 2 years. So we don't know how much better it might have gotten since then. But normally a public defender would be assigned to somebody at an initial appearance. It's not required if the defendant is going to plead not guilty, because that doesn't really change any matters in the case. But if they would have wanted some type of plea deal or pleading guilty or something like that, it would have been required that they have representation. So now, Gabriel Metcalf and his mother are looking to find some kind of representation, because who knows how long it might be before a public defender is assigned to them. And in the meantime, they have to pay $300 a month for this GPS monitor. Now, if you want to be, or if you are, cynical, you might say that this is more punishment by process, you know, that the Billings police looked real hard. We've got to find some way to keep Gabriel Metcalf under our control, because the federal judge just allowed him out on his own recognizance. I don't know what happened there, but the timing is a little bit suspicious.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I've been wondering about this. Now, we know what Gabriel and his mother have said. We've had Vivian on the show. She seems completely 100% genuine. But unless this police department is just absolutely corrupt, I mean, way corrupt, and if they were way corrupt, wouldn't we be hearing other anecdotal stuff about this? Wouldn't there be other people saying, yeah, that happened to me, too. Yeah, that happened to me, too, as far as their targeting?
Yeah, I have some contacts, some sources in Montana, and they hint at that. I haven't had individual instances come forward, but I have someone who had a very close girlfriend who grew up in Billings, and they indicated that the police were known to be kind of heavy-handed.
Right.
And then I have another well-known person who's expert in Montana firearms law, and they said the Billings police had a reputation as, I think the term they used was badge-heavy. So it appears there is at least the possibility of, I guess I'd call it low-level corruption, you know, where police, I think I've heard this term used before, maybe you have had, that a crime is called contempt of cop.
Right.
Where you know, if the police don't think that you are giving them sufficient respect, they will
arrest you.
Be a bit more heavy-handed than otherwise.
Yeah.
And it may be a combination of that. I'm looking into this and trying to get more information, and Gabriel's mother, Vivian, has put out a Give Send Go campaign, and I've included a link to that on my recent articles about the gun-free school zone law and Gabriel at Ammoland, so if people want to contribute to that. From what I can tell, and as you say, Vivian seems very genuine, they're just poor. I mean, I don't think they'd like to be considered poor. I mean, they do have their house.
Right.
But because of the ongoing, I would call it harassment, terror campaign, threats, whatever you want to call it, of the person that they had a protection order of protection against, which has gone on for almost 2 years, and because Vivian was sick for a couple of months with COVID and pneumonia, she's 71, and so Gabriel had to take care of her, and she couldn't work, and then they got into debt to just meet their basic bills. So they just really don't have any money. So she has put up this Give, Send, Go account, and that would be used to defend themselves, their house, and I would say defend the Constitution and the Second Amendment, because this gun-free school zone law, in my opinion, is clearly unconstitutional.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. We're going to have to leave it right there, last words, because we have run out of time. And once again, thank you for joining me all this weekend. I guess we'll be talking for, you know, come Tuesday.
Yes, I expect so. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Pleasure is mine. I'll be back on Monday. And between now and then, you should remember this. It's never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.